Greetings, fellow citizens and the listeners. I welcome you to our program. My name is Lucas Kaluapa Katenda, and please sit and relax and welcome. Let us have a conversation. Again, this is going to be a monologue, because I'm speaking remotely. And again, as much as we would like to continue with the voters' preparation, the conceptual understanding of democracy is the cornerstone of all elections or of all activities that are aimed. And for that reason, I would like us to talk about elements of democratic state and society, especially in the area of political pluralism, which I promised I started just a bit last time, and today I'm going to get into details. Okay? The broader definition of pluralism is a belief or a commitment to diversity or multiplicity. That is the political pluralism. So for democracy to thrive, for democracy to work, for democracy to be meaningful, there must be a belief, or there must be a commitment. We must enjoy, we must not be threatened by diversity, by people thinking differently. We need multiple actors so that people can then choose, because it's a question of choice. It's a descriptive term, you see. Pluralism may be used to mean the existence of party competition or multiplicity of ethical values or varied cultural norms, if you like. And in a democracy, government is only one thread in the social fabric of many varied public and private institutions, legal forums, political parties, organizations, and associations. So this diversity is called pluralism. So the government is one, the state is one, and the government will always be one. The government, the state will always form the government, because the state belongs to everyone. The government is the people who are chosen to administer the affairs of the state. So the idea of pluralism, therefore, is to say in a democracy, you have one government, but around the government, surrounding the governance, there will be private institutions. Okay, community institutions or community organizations, legal forums. There will be political parties. There will be organizations. And there will be associations. So this diversity is called pluralism. And it assumes that the many organization groups in a democratic society do not depend upon government for their existence or for their legitimacy or for their authority. So in a plural, so let me just repeat this again. The diversity is called pluralism. The diversity of ideas, of organizations, of associations, of political parties, of legal forums, of private institutions. This diversity is called pluralism, and it assumes that many organization groups or organized group in a democratic society do not depend upon government for their existence or for their legitimacy or for their authority. Most democratic societies have thousands of private organizations. Some are local, some are national, and many of these organizations serve as a mediating role between individuals and the society's complex social and governmental institutions, filling roles not given to government and offering individuals opportunities to become part of their society without being the government. So, what is very clear here is that individual institutions are there to serve as mediating role between individual and the society's complex social and governmental institutions, filling roles not given to government and offering individual opportunities to become part of their society without being government. We don't have to be government to be part of the society, government structures. Yeah. There are some people whose understanding is very low, sorry to say the least. They will always ask you, why are you doing this? Where were you when people were fighting for liberation, for instance? Where were you? Yeah. The reason why our liberators went to great lengths, including to lose their lives, their youthful periods, to liberate us, is to do exactly what we are saying here. To be free as a society, to be free as a people, to participate in the governance of our people. Political parties are something else. Community organizations and civil society organizations, as I've mentioned the other time, are another. So all of us must make a significant contribution to Namibia. To Namibia. Whether we are in government or we are not. Whether we are in political parties or we are not. Because not all of us must be in political parties. I don't believe that. In fact, political parties can be endangered species because they are prone to control, and a person who may join may be in trouble of not exercising their rights and freedoms as much as they really wanted. So, in the Namibian context, political pluralism means simply that Namibians are free to form and belong to different political parties and to hold different political ideologies. Okay? There are some people who believe that you cannot belong to the other parties. We must all belong to one party. Namibia is not a one-party system. It has never been the intention of our constitutional drafters. It has never been the intention of many of the freedom fighters. Yeah, although some of them didn't understand the idea, their lack of understanding does not diminish the idea that Namibian people are to belong to any political party. They are free to form any political party or to belong to any political party or to hold different political ideologies. Yes, in the world of media, there is a competition for some people trying to bully others, bullying others to belong only to party A or to belong only to party B. We don't do that. In the Namibian context, all of us must be free to make Namibia the winning team. It doesn't matter. Our government policy, our state policy should be the same. Yeah, you can then add the angles and the directions and the methods how you want to govern. That's what the political parties can do. But they cannot change the government policy. Namibia is a sovereign state. It's a democratic state. It is intending to serve all the people, women, children, elderly, and what have you. So this is exactly what we must be doing. But how to do so is now left to political parties and to organizations and to associations, how we want to govern things. And these are the things you must sell to the electorate by propagating and propaganding through political rallies and campaigns and so forth and so on. So the different political parties or groups are free to compete for political positions or powers. And this is what we are doing now. Different political parties or groups are free to compete for political position at all levels, national or local. National, regional, or local. That's why at this point in time, we are dealing with regional and local authorities. And the different political parties, even groups and associations in various local authorities, are free to compete. They are free to compete. They are free to participate and seek political positions or power. Okay. So in addition, these people are also free, whether as individuals or as political organizations or pressure groups or social groups or cultural groups or economic institutions, to express their opinions on different aspects of politics and governance. So we must not just leave politics to politicians. We must not just leave politics to those who are in political parties. We can all express our opinions. We may not then be part of the political party. We may not be part of the competing group. We may not be in an individual participating in politics directly. But for as long as we belong to a pressure group, a social group, a cultural group, economic institution, we are free to express our opinions on different aspects of politics and governance, to influence the thinking of our people. Because I said democracy is in the hands of the people. We can make our countries or we can break our countries. We can make our countries or we can break our countries. So, an individual or group's opinion cannot be disregarded simply because it contradicts the view of the government or a party in power. Otherwise, all views have to be listened to and to be respected. That is what democracy means. You cannot just say, because you are not in power, you were not voted for, we did not vote for you, we cannot listen to you. These political rhetorics, if we revisit our history since independence, there has been elements of ignorance and flattery, dismissal of people's views because people believe they are anti-government or they are anti-ruling party. If you want to govern a democratic government, a democratic institution, you cannot ignore or disregard opinions simply because they seem to be attacking or they seem to be pushing for a particular agenda. The best thing is to listen to your people. I have heard, I was told, the third administration, or rather the, not the third, the seventh administration, probably the sixth, in other words, the third presidency of Dr. Hage Geingob, I was informed by those people who were closer to the cabinet meetings that Dr. Hage Geingob always said, if people are complaining about something, we have obligation to listen. This is what apparently he used to say in the meetings. People are saying 1, 2, 3, listen to them in the cabinet. I heard that he didn't mince his word in cabinet meetings as far as people are concerned, as far as people's complaints are concerned. So, it agrees with the principle that when people are complaining, when people are making suggestions, when people are saying things, when people are expressing their opinions, they should do so freely. I know political parties are afraid of losing power, and the political parties are afraid of not winning elections. And they are suspicious of the agenda of any people speaking, even as we speak in the media here, as a civil society, myself, using the media, which is also just a civil society. People may have a suspicion that maybe these people have agenda for regime change or removal of people from power. That fear will always be present. That fear will always be present. And unfortunately, those are things we have to live with. Those are effects and consequences of democratic institutions. We have an obligation to make Namibia the winning team. As long as it is Namibia, we don't care who is in power at that particular moment, for as long as the idea is to serve the people of Namibia. The idea is to make Namibia the winning team. If this is our idea, then there's no problem. It becomes problematic when people are no longer serving the interests of the people, whether they are those in the government who were elected or whether those who are outside and they have other ideas and other agendas that are against the letter and the spirit of the Namibian Constitution. So state agencies are hereby, in a democratic institution, warned not to interfere when citizens exercise their freedoms, as long as the freedoms are being exercised within the framework of the law, because Namibia believes in the rule of law. So this is actually what we say Namibia needs in terms of pluralism. As I said, historically, we have instances. We can argue about that, but we can go back to the instances in which some politicians were so strongly opposed to an opposition. And we understood it simply because we just emerged from a long walk to freedom. And people were worried that the apartheid people are going to come back, the Boers will come back, the Kaspers will come back, colonialism will come back, and all those things. There was such a fear that we are going to go back to the events of 1960s, 70s, and 80s. But obviously there was not going to be something like that. If there is going to be a new challenge, it is going to be a new challenge in a different format. If it is colonialism, it will probably be a neo-colonialism, just as we see now, where people are still dictated to believe in particular things, particular ideology, especially the global geopolitics, where there are some people forcing others to believe things in order to access international funding in institutions and so forth and so on. Now here, the point is, in the context of Namibia, there must be pluralism. Pluralism is helpful because you will think. You will be helped to think beyond what you think. If you just think, oh, I'm going to do 1, 2, 3, then you find out that somebody says, yeah, but you can also do it 1, 2, 3. Then you realize, oh, I thought it is going to be 1, 2, 3. Ah, it is also 1, 2, 3. Very, very important. Pluralism helps to bring lots and lots of ideas, kind of a brainstorming, lots and lots of ideas. And out of these ideas, you can govern better. As long as we trust each other, as Namibians, nobody's trying to be funny as far as democracy, as far as our economy, as far as our resources are concerned. Because there are some people who think that there is imperialism going through the minds of some people. Some people are puppets or tools of 1, 2, 3 people somewhere. Maybe. But I personally believe for as long as Namibia becomes the winning team, as long as our people, all our children are in school, all our people have access to quality health, all our people have access to food, all our people have access to resources, all our people have what it needs to live averagely, for as long as we have that. It's unfortunate that this is not the case now in the Namibian context. There are people who are completely poor. There are people who are extremely rich. We don't know why and how this happened, but we must find a way to close that gap so that all the Namibian people are equal and they benefit from the state resources. It is the reason why we fight to compete, to participate in these elections. So in the local governments, okay? In local government, political pluralism in the local government may have two things, like political leaders, that's the first. This now include local councils and local councillors, maybe the regional councillors or the local councillors. Okay? In the local regional setup, you have political leaders, the regional councils and the local councillors, who may be elected on the political party tickets, as we have mentioned, or those who will be independent candidates. And I will be talking about Electoral Commission has advised on independent candidacy recently. But in the regional local government, the pluralism is that they are political leaders. Those are appointed politically, directly via the political parties. They are elected via the political parties. And not only that, they can also be elected as independent candidates. Okay? The second is that the pluralism, you have the associations, the civil society. They are not necessarily political parties. They can be associations of people or ratepayers associations as we have them in the Namibian context. But you also have civil servants, people who are working in the government, who are working for the state via the government, employed by the government to do civil work. They are not necessarily politicians, but they are political animals because they are serving the people. They have the capacity to damage the reputation of the ruling party or to make the ruling party the winning team. The people will love it because service provision is of high standard. So you cannot do away with the civil servants and just concentrate on the political leaders, concentrate also on the performance of teachers at the local school, of nurses at the local clinic, at officers in a particular office. Our people, as we speak now, can come off offices crying because they were not treated with dignity. They were not treated as human beings. They were either shouted at or services were delayed or things like that. By so doing, you are not making Namibia the winning team. You are making Namibia a failing team. Okay? So, not only, therefore, do we have political actors directly involved, but we also have civil servants who are directly providing the services at the behest of politicians. Okay. Pluralism at a local level also implies the considering the views of and attending the interests of social groups, women, children, youth, persons with disability, veterans, business association, religious association, among others. So make sure you interact with these people. Make sure you interact with these people. Okay? You interact with these people. So, that is what it means. Political pluralism. What do we mean again, in order to help us understand where we are coming from? What is the big heading under which we were discussing those things? Political pluralism. We are talking about the elements of a functioning democratic state and society, political pluralism. And I explain again that political pluralism is not limited to political parties. It is a broader term that involves political parties, obviously, but also opinions as expressed by the people through various means, through social organizations, as we call them, civil society, or simple ordinary citizens explaining themselves, not through a political party, but as a private citizen. Political parties do not diminish the fundamental, okay? Do not diminish the fundamental rights and freedoms of the individual citizens. This is the reason why our forefathers went to war. whether they understand this is what they fought for or they don't understand, at least this is what they have given us when they drafted the Namibian Constitution. So participation in politics is not limited to one party or to organized political parties only, but to all citizens, including civil servants. Then we have the democratic participation. Democratic participation. So always the same, democratic pluralism, democratic participation. Everything comes down to active participation. Participation is a component of democracy which refers to the process whereby people act in political ways to connect themselves to the government and thus become self-governing. What do we mean here? Is to participate is a component of democracy, which refers to a process whereby people act in a political way or in political ways so that they are connected themselves to the government. Or these people will become self-governing. So, democratic participation can occur, therefore, in two ways. First, people can participate through established structures of the adopted forms of democracy. And second, they can participate through civil associations. There are two ways to be formally involved in participation. Either there are established structures, adopted forms of democracy, you participate, working where you want, applying for a job, free, fair elections, and participate. There are formal where you can participate. That's the first thing. People can participate through established structures of the adopted forms of democracy. Election is one thing. Political parties are one thing, and all that and all that. But you can also participate via civil society organizations in which you are free to form a civil society organization. It is not directly going to be elected, but it has a freedom to do what? To express opinions, to influence the society, to talk about things out, if you so want. Because in democracies, participation will come down to elections. The elections of leaders must be free and fair. Free and fair, genuine elections. Free and fair, genuine elections. And in some societies, a referendum is used to decide on major issues of the day. And in this way, citizens become part of the decision-making process and the governance. So in many ways, democratic participation is a broader process in which all the people are free to participate, to take part. There are established forms of democracy and adopted forms of democracy. In the Namibian context, free and fair elections are part of it. Number two, our people are free to participate and to express themselves in a way that they will not be reprimanded by the state agents or state institutions. In fact, the state institutions and agents must actually say yes to the people to express themselves. This is exactly what it means. And the Namibian government, despite the historic hiccups I have mentioned of the past, where were you and so forth, we, in comparison to different countries, Namibia has done the best it could to cultivate a democratic culture. And as I've mentioned that, I was told that President Dr. Hage Geingob used to say, if people are complaining, we have to listen to them. It's what I have heard. And already we are in the 8th administration. We hear already nothing of combating the spirit of pushing people like back. Meme Netumbo has been in power now for close to 6-7 months. But we have never heard yet of a vindictive spirit. In fact, she's promoting a new Namibia in which all people are part of the system and all people must be served. We can see the trajectory and the direction she's taking. And it is cementing more of the democratic values where people are free to say things that they want to see. People are free to suggest ideas to her. People are free to complain and so forth and so on. And still, and so far, we have never heard of the vindictive spirit. Why are you doing this to me? I haven't done this and so on and so forth. So we are still on track when it comes to participation. So we have many political parties that are just cropping up now. That's the nature of democracy. And some people are complaining, too many political parties. It's the nature of democracy. Multi-party. This is what we have agreed to. Multi-party. And multi-party is good for diverse communities, diverse communities such as Namibia. Multiracial, multi-tribal, multi-ethnic, multi-religious. We need multi-party so that all people can choose according to what they think is the best for them. Whatever is behind their thinking. So experiences, therefore, in Africa and elsewhere also show that leaders can neglect the interests of those who elected them. That's the problem. What is the problem? What could be the problem of these things is when leaders neglect the interests of those people who elect them. Leaders, you will be elected by people. Regional councillors, local councillors, you will be elected by the people. But then, it will be tragic if you neglect the interests of those who elected you and concentrate instead on your own interests and the interests of particular groups of people. So the idea is that we must be worried ourselves. Do the people we elect have the capacity to remain intact as far as interests of the people are concerned? Are we concerned that the people have the capacity to maintain the idea and keep the interests of the people? Or will they forget the interests of the people easily and concentrate on their own interests? This is the gray area. This is the dilemma we have, and we cannot, my dear people, ignore this. Because there must be a balance between the interests of the people and the interests of the leader. For this reason, our government, at least we are not saying the Namibian people are better paid. according to our economy, at least the politicians, especially those in the local councils, regional councils, national assembly, presidency, the state will make a provision through the government to take care of the interest of these people in terms of their health, in terms of their housing, in terms of their salaries, in terms of their transportation, in terms of their security, in terms of all kinds of things. So that there is no reason why these people must not do their work. Okay? But then while the government and the state take care of the interest of these individuals on a smaller scale, on a larger scale, the government, the state, which these people represent and therefore propagate, must actually take care of the interest of the people. Of all people. Health of the people. Education of the people. Safety of the people. Security of the people. Food of the people, resources of, so social welfare, economic welfare of the people is their interest, according to the Constitution of the Republic of Namibia. So it is therefore important that people, for the people to constantly monitor the way their leaders manage their affairs. And this is what sometimes leaders don't understand. They don't want to be monitored by the people. They will say, oh, you did not vote for me. Why are you doing that to me? I was given the mandate by the people. My friends, it is important for all the citizens, whether they have voted for this candidate or that other candidate, to constantly monitor the behavior, administrative behavior, management behavior, leadership behavior of these leaders. How they manage, how they administer, how they deal with the affairs of the state and of the people. It is the people's responsibility to do so. It is the people's responsibility to do so. It is our responsibility to do so. This is possible through civil associations, for example, the farmers, the youth, the academics, the women, persons with disability, veterans, entrepreneurs, environmentalists, religious leaders, traditional councillors, traditional leaders have. And there is indeed a need for a Namibian assembly of all the leaders. Of all the leaders. Namibians need to come together quite often and talk. Quite often and talk. Talk about issues. Yeah, because you need civil associations, civil participation. And the participation in such association is important as they help to protect the interest and as they raise awareness about specific issues. Therefore, can be educative. Sometimes we need just to come together and just educate one another. Maybe there will be a time when we need traditional leaders in the north, in the south, in the east, in the west, in the central, together with church leaders from the same directions, maybe with political leaders from the same directions, and we meet in a massive conference and talk about issues that are affecting our people all together in one room, rather than this divide and rule where regional councillors are dealing with their people in their region, in that region. Sometimes we need to come together as a nation. I know the logistics can be a nightmare, but when we need all the constituents councillors, when we need all the leadership in each of the constituency, including now the traditional councillors and the religious councillors and so forth and so on, religious leaders, we are all councillors. All leaders. The idea is to make Namibia a winning team. The idea is to share ideas and values. The idea is also just to know one another so that we can create harmony among the people. That's one thing. So, furthermore, participation through such associations and the groups eliminate individual isolations and strengthen the people's position in engaging leaders for their own interests and those of the community in general. This becomes even more relevant when government system expands and its organs become far removed from the people, when a person as an individual cannot effectively question the government. Okay? So a lack of people's participation in a free association bears the risk that since it is difficult for individuals to pressurize the government into meeting people's needs, the failure of individuals' efforts lead to individual despair and frustration, which may in turn lead to withdrawal from the campaign for democracy. We do not want people to withdraw from democratic participation. There are some people who have withdrawn. There are people who have withdrawn and they have nothing to do with elections. They have nothing to do with political parties. They have nothing to do. We must not allow a situation in which our people withdraw from participating in democracy, from participating in the governance, in the administration, in the management, in the leadership of their country. We cannot afford to have people to withdraw. People must participate. Not necessarily because they are politicians or they belong to political parties, but simply because these people are individual citizens of our country, and they are happy to participate in the affairs of their country. Okay? Participation can occur in different forms and in different degrees in all spheres of life and at all levels of the political systems. Now, we have the social sphere. In the social sphere, people are participating in the community matters and issues of daily life. People must participate. This is why we are saying you must participate. Citizens must participate. Ordinary people must participate. Don't wait for someone else to do things for you. Not at all. In social sphere, people must participate in community matters and issues of daily life. For example, through involvement in community projects, self-help groups, or charity initiatives. Other popular examples of social participation can be found in diversity of social groups and activities such as religious groups or churches or social club or traditional cultural activities and events. Okay? through their economic income generating activities. People also participate in economic sphere. Okay? That's why we say our people must participate. Not only participate in political parties, not only participate in actual voting, because you have to vote, you have to go out there in your numbers and vote for those councillors, participate in the free and fair elections, but you also have to understand that participation can occur in other areas, such as a social sphere. Involve in political political groups, social groups, self-help groups, charity initiatives, yeah, especially religious groups and churches, sport clubs, traditional and cultural activities, etc. Participate. Those things have a bearing on politics. So participate. And not only that, we also have what we call the economic sphere, where we participate in the market, entrepreneurship, in saving clubs, cooperatives. Let people come together in a particular area, in a particular region, and do exactly what must be done. And in the political sphere, people in the democratic system have opportunity to participate through different mechanisms from the local to the national level. So you have the political sphere, the economic sphere, and the social sphere. In the political sphere is actually the main point, and it has a bearing on economic and the social sphere. So people in a democratic system have opportunity to participate through different mechanisms from local level, regional level, and the national level. The most common form of political participation in a democracy is voting in elections. Voting in elections. We have to vote. We have to choose the people we want to serve us. We have to choose those people. Apart from voting for other candidates, people can of course also become candidates themselves and run for office. You see? Participating politically has two ways. Vote for another person to represent you. We will talk about representation in a minute. Or you can represent others. Yourself, you can be chosen. No one has the right to say, in the Namibian context, no one must be voted for. I used to hear some people saying, because apparently we are Christians, we are the church people must not be participating in the elections. The church people have the right, just as Namibians elsewhere, to participate in the electoral, either by voting for people or themselves to be voted for. So, the most common form of participation is voting. How? Voting others to represent you, or being voted to represent others yourself as a participant to run for public office. As long as you are 21 years and above. And you can vote if you are 18 years and above. So forms of political participation beyond election include the referenda, the consultations, for example, through community meetings. You can still deal with people. That's why we have what we call the standing committees of parliament. The standing committees of parliament are going to meet people here and there. They will call people here and there and so on, because this is how you participate. This is how you make your voice known to the people. Okay, forms of political participation are many. Participation, however, can also occur in alternative forms of proactive initiative by the citizens who can, for example, engage their leaders in discussions and dialogues. Some of these alternative forms can be institutionalized to a certain extent. And for instance, people can join political parties or form certain interest and lobby groups. Other forms are of a more temporary or spontaneous nature, such as petitions, such as campaigns, or for certain projects, or services, or protest movements, or demonstrations. All these people, all these things are for democratic participation. When people are doing a demonstration or a protest or that, you cannot be angry with them. You cannot be angry with them because this is the reason why they have to participate in a democratic process. We have to participate in a democratic process. Okay? And through such activities, existing forms of participation in the social sphere frequently acquire political dimension. The media can also provide opportunities for participation, particularly by providing platform for publicly expressing opinions on political matters. This is what we are doing now in Eagle FM, the media helping us to express ourselves. The idea is to make Namibia the winning nation. Make Namibia a winning nation. This is at least my own slogan, my own philosophy. When I attend these meetings, when I go to become a prayer person here and there, my agenda, let us make Namibia a winning nation. Namibia, make Namibia a winning nation. Make Namibia a winning nation. This is my view. It's what I want. I want Namibia to be a winning nation. In education, we must win. In technology and industrialization, we must win. In food and agriculture, we must win. In health and security and the safety of our people, we must win. In social networks, marriages, husbands and wives, children and parents, religious institutions, Namibia must win. This is what we want. It's what I think. We must win. Owing to the main challenge presented by the direct democracy, the difficulty will come down to the representation. Okay? Because we now have to understand the idea of political pluralism, participation, active participation, and then representation. Diversity, participation, and representation. They are all in democracy. We have to understand these things. What does it mean to be a representative of someone, to be a representative of something, and so forth and so on? Okay. In representation, owing to the challenge presented by a direct democracy, that is the difficulty of each one of us representing ourselves at the various fora, indirect or representative democracy was introduced. We cannot all be part of the system. We cannot all be part of the government. We cannot all be presidents. We cannot all be regional councillors. We cannot all be members of parliament. We cannot all be members of that standing committee or members of diplomatic committee. We cannot all do that. But if we cannot do that, does it mean we are limited? We cannot say anything. We cannot do anything anymore? No, we can influence. Yeah. We can, but representative democracy Representative democracy is the concept that we are working with all its challenges, with all its shortcomings. We have to believe in representation. Representation is defined as the process by which political power and influence, which the entire citizenry or a part of it might have upon governmental actions, with their express or implied approval, is exercised on its behalf by a small number among them, with a binding effect upon the whole community thus represented. So what is representation again here? Representation is defined as the process by which the political power, influence, which the entire citizenry or part of it might have upon the governmental action. So it's a delegation, if you like. In democratic representation, the citizenry delegate the power to a particular person in a particular locality, in a particular region, in a particular country. Please receive our power and do the work as entrusted by you. We will be monitoring you. So in other words, in representation, by voting, we are giving our people, our leaders, the powers that we have. We delegate them to the people, to those people. Very few of them. They are not many. The idea with their express or implied approval is exercised on behalf of small number among them, with binding effect upon the whole community that represented. So, the head of state and government is a representative of the people. Members of the executive, representatives of the people. Members of the legislative, representative of the people. Members of the judiciary, representative of the people. Members of the regional councils, representatives of the people. Members of the local authorities, representatives of the people. And you cannot do anything that does not seek to empower the people. Similarly, a representative government is understood to stand for the whole people, or at least numerous portion of it. Yes, you must represent all people, not even a portion for me. Some people here are saying for a numerous portion of the people, no. For me, represent the whole population. It exercises the government, the representative government, the ultimate controlling power through deputies periodically elected by the people themselves. There is a scholar by the name J.S. Mill who argued that the people must possess this ultimate power in all its completeness. They must be masters whenever they please of all the operations of government. From the above conceptualization, there are five essential principles of representation in a liberal democracy, if you like. Number one, the ultimate power lies with the people. This is what we call liberal democracy. Liberal democracy. Okay? Liberal democracy is what is found in the Namibian constitution. The sovereign power is vested in the people of Namibia. So the ultimate power vest with the people. of Namibia. We call that popular sovereign principle. Popular sovereign principle. When we say popular sovereign principle, what do we mean? Popular sovereign sovereign principle. Okay? Popular sovereign principle is obviously a political belief that government authority originates from, and it is sustained by, the will of the people, who are the ultimate source of all political power. This means the citizen grant power to someone to form the government. And the government's legitimacy depends on its adherence to the people's wishes and protection of their rights. Yeah. This fundamental concept is what underpins the democracies around the world, including our own. The popular sovereignty have some key aspects. Very important one, the source of authority. Unlike monarchies that claim divine right, popular sovereignty state that government power comes from the consent of the governed. This is where some of our traditional leaders, call them kings or queens or chiefs or headmen or what have you, some of them are mistaken because they think they have the divine right over the people. And some of them are trying to create a narrative that there are countries within Namibia or there are sovereignties within Namibia. The constitution of the Republic of Namibia outlaws any other thing like monarchies in Namibia. We don't have monarchies here. We don't have a monarchy. Okay? Nobody has the divine right in Namibia to rule us. It was a case before, when districts were governed by chiefs and kings and queens before independence, before colonialism, but no longer. You cannot therefore claim to say that in my country, in my Oshirongo or in my kingdom or something. We don't have kingdoms in Namibia. We don't have kingdoms in Namibia, unless we change our constitution and we allow kingdoms to exist, like the kingdom exists in Eswatini, for instance. We don't have kingdoms here, or the kingdoms of the Buganda, for instance, in Uganda. In the Namibian context, we don't have kingdoms. Every person who wants to govern people must only do so when the consent was given him by the same people he's trying to govern. These traditional authorities that we have, they are good things to keep. But they have got no constitutional powers, if you like, over the people. We associate culturally, we associate naturally, because we were born into those communities, and therefore we love that. Okay. Government by consent. Citizens delegate some powers to government officials, but retain the power and the right to alter or abolish the government if it fails to serve the people. This is where our people are not properly empowered, because the authority to govern people comes from people. The president received the consent of the people to govern. All the people they follows, whether they are parliamentarians or judiciary or local councillors or regional councillors, consent of the people. Very clear. It's good when we got that. But sometimes we fail to go to the people and ask them, are we doing what you ask we supposed to do? I used to hear midterm and so on in different countries. Okay? Citizens delegate some, not all the powers. Not all the powers. Only some of the power. Yeah. So the citizens must reserve, okay, must reserve the right to abolish the government, okay. So what is the midterm elections? I used to hear, especially in the United States of America, they used to have what the midterm elections in the in the United States are those general elections that held near midpoint of president's fourth term of office. Yeah. The background to those midterm elections are regarded as a referendum of the sitting president on the incumbent's party. Yeah. The party incumbent president tends to lose ground during the midterm election since World War II. The present party lost and all these things. The idea behind these midterm elections is to find out why are they important? Okay. Why do we have importance of these midterm elections? Yeah. You have general election, basically means an election that happens in all states, territories of the same time, while midterm primaries are earlier in the year, run earlier in the year, and determine the nominees who would run. We have the midterm primaries, and then you have the midterm elections. You are given an opportunity to decide which party that control which house. Okay? For instance, in other words, you have to, these people must be kept on their toes. One thing that we are missing in the Namibian context and in African context is the citizens' ability to evaluate, to monitor and evaluate what are the mechanisms in place that the citizens must use to determine if these people are performing. Maybe we must say after 2.5 years, there must be somewhat evaluation. There must be evaluatory elections. Are these people doing what they should be doing? Maybe, I'm not so sure. Only to say that citizens delegate some powers to the government officials, but retain the right to alter and abolish the government if it fails to serve the people. But some people, when they are elected, they leave it up to themselves. They know they have 5 years to work, to accumulate a lot of money. And after 5 years, if they are lucky, they are reappointed. If they are not lucky, then they go home and do something else. But they don't feel the pressure that these things can be terminated before the end of 5 years. Because our people have got no mechanism to control these government powers that be, as far as the abolishment and the altering, if those who are delegated to represent the people fail. So the role of the people hold ultimate sovereign power, and they can influence the government through elections and other forms of political participation. And the foundation of democracy, popular sovereignty, is the cornerstone of a democratic system. Asserting the will of the majority forms the basis of ultimate rule. So he just wanted to make us understand just a bit of what is a sovereign, popular sovereign, popular sovereign principle. Okay, so what is popular sovereign principle? So if we understand what popular sovereign principle mean, then we are there. Now, not only is representation coming from the ultimate power that lies with the people or popular sovereign principle, this popular power is exercised by selected few on behalf of the many. We call that deputation principle. That is now sovereign, popular sovereign principle, then you have the deputation principle. You have the deputation principle. What is the deputation principle? We have also to understand those words, deputation principles. What does it mean to deputize? What does it mean to deputize in terms of leadership? Deputation principles involve the temporary transfer of an employee, if you like, to a different post or department and so on and so on. But in the democratic setup, it is a few people who are told to deputize. Okay, they are acting on behalf. To deputize is on behalf. Okay. It is really one of the principles of good governance. Okay, in terms of governance, you must have it in your mind that I am simply a deputy. I'm not on my own. I am here acting on behalf of someone, of the sovereign. And who is the sovereign? It's the people. It's the people who have given you that the people who have given me the authority to represent. Okay, that's why we say in deputation, it comes down to issues like accountability and responsibility. You should be able at least to account for the persons you are deputizing. Okay, so the popular power in this case is exercised by a selected few on behalf of the many. Because even in the political party itself, the political party itself cannot have all its members govern at the same time. Okay? So, not only is the deputation principle very important, the deputies or representatives are mandated by the people through periodical elections. The popular consent principle. Popular consent principle. So, we have already mentioned about this popular sovereignty. Now we have popular consent. Popular consent principle. What is popular consent principle? It is the elections now. It is now the elections itself. Popular consent principles assert that government legitimacy and authority stem, have its root from the voluntary agreement and the will of its people, often expressed through democratic processes like elections. You give the consent voluntarily. Our people must give consent voluntarily to the government or to the people to form a government. The key principle, including popular sovereignty, where people are ultimate source of power, accountability, requiring government to be responsive to citizens and the consent of the governed, meaning citizens have the right to self-rule and to consent to their government. Okay? So, when we talk of popular consent principles, we are actually talking what we mentioned in the beginning, popular sovereignty. In other words, the ultimate source of power, political power, resides with the people. The government's authority is derived from the people, not from the divine right or external sources. That's why we say sovereign. When we say sovereign, we don't want even the United Nations or powerful governments elsewhere in the world to come here and tell us what to do. All they can do is perhaps to help us understand these things, but they cannot come here and tell us what to do. There must be no external forces, no external forces whatsoever, to exert pressure on the Namibian people to do what is not good for them. That's the principle of sovereignty. And consent of the governed, citizens must agree to be governed. And this agreement is the basis of government legitimate powers and the laws. That's why you can only be a legitimate leader if you were given consent by the people of Namibia to govern them. And accountability, the government must be responsive to the needs and desires of the citizens to maintain their legitimacy. And citizens have the right to hold their leaders accountable. And self-determination and participation, people must have the right to participate in their own government and to influence the policy, and there must be rights and representation. Popular consent support the idea that individuals have their rights and that government should ensure their interests are represented. Now, that being said, not only is popular sovereign principle, deputation principle, and the popular consent principle, but governance principle as well. Decision made and actions carried out by these deputies have a binding effect on the community. So if we give these people the powers, we must now make sure that whatever decision they make, those decisions will be binding on us as communities. And as ultimate masters, the people remain the final judge of performance of the government and their deputies. So the people must be the final judgment, the final judge on the performance. That's why I say there must be a way to measure if what people have chosen, if what these leaders are doing is what people have anticipated when they voted for them. But how should a representative act so as to conform to all these principles? Edmund Burke, an English philosopher and politician, argued that a representative should be guided by four things that I will just talk a bit. Namely, the constituency opinions, rational judgment, consideration of the national interest, and personal conviction or science, in conscience rather. In the modern world, Most people tend to view representative in black terms as a person with discretion and inclined or expected to act in response to local and national and personal experiences. So, four things very, very important. When you are elected, when you are chosen to lead the local authority, when you are chosen to lead the regional council, four things must be in your mind. Constituents' opinions. What are the opinions of your people saying? Can those opinions be translated into law? Can those opinions be translated into policy? Can those opinions be translated into a working document that is implementable? If you can solicit as much as you can of the opinions of your people, the constituency, your people, don't just go to the Europe or America or Asia and bring things from there. There's nothing wrong to benchmark with what others are doing, but start with your own constituency. Go to your people. Go to your people. Ask them, hear them, and be able to translate those opinions into policies and guiding documents that is implementable. That is implementable. That's number one. Number two, you must have a rational judgment. Rational judgment. Okay? There are many things sometimes we need to understand. Rational judgment. What does it mean? Rational, when somebody is saying rational judgment, what does it mean? Rational judgment is a conclusion reached through logic and reason, rather than emotions or appeal to authority, certain authority or from a certain faith. There must be a logic. It doesn't mean you don't consult your faith or your authority or your beliefs or what have you. But what is important here when we say rational judgment, somebody must be a clever person, must be a wise person, must be able to reason logically, because it relies on the facts and evidence to determine the most logical, beneficial outcome of situation decision. To make a rational judgment, one should know their goals, gather all available information, consider the potential consequences of different actions, rather than choose option most likely to achieve those goals while mitigating personal biases. So when you are making a rational judgment, you are making sure that you have considered all things, all facts, all evidences, all information, all, you have exhausted all the opportunities. And if you so do, you are likely going to be a good representative. If you consider the constituency opinions, your people's opinions, if you consider making judgments that are rational, that are logical, considering all the opportunities, considering all the things that may happen. If I do it this way, it may go this way. If I do it this way, it may go this way. And then consideration of the national interest. Please take note, each of our people have their opinions, but we have our own national interest. What is the national interest? We cannot have the interest of others. We must have our own interest. It could be cultural interest. It could be economic interest. It could be developmental interest. It could be social interest. For as long as our interests are agreed upon, at least by all people, and when some do not agree, whose disagreement is also taken into consideration, then we can say our people, we can then say our people interests are taken care of. Don't just be a leader who is not interested in the people. Don't be a leader whose praxis is divorced from the interest of the people, not only of your constituency, but of all people. You are in your locality, you are in your regional council, but do you understand the need of the national interest, for instance? Then there must be personal convictions as well, or personal conscience. Obviously, as a leader, you must be initiative, you must be creative, you must be thinking and create new and innovate by bringing new information and new ideologies and let people think in those lines, and people say, oh, our leader is really just thinking. Our leader is just really also just thinking. So in the modern world, this is what people are doing. Now, constitutions and subsidiary legislations in various quarters, both at local and national level, they spell out the functions of representatives. There are common known functions, such as making the laws, obviously, ordinances or bylaws, revenue raising, authorization of budgets. However, representatives from members of parliament and councillors do a lot of other things sanctioned by convention. The expectation of voters, personal convictions, and the fact that they are leaders. In the case, we need people really to understand their functions. Okay? There must be representatives' functions properly spelled out, properly defined, the national level, at regional level, constituency level, if you like, and at a local level, and even at a personal level, because you are still a person and you have your own interests. So national level functions, please take note, includes what? It includes lawmaking, passing and amendment of the laws, including the constitution itself, approving taxes, other revenue and budgets, making or shaping public policy, controlling government actions, informing the government about constituency situations, resource allocation, nationality, and providing leadership nationally. Those are at the national level. We have already done with the presidency and the members of parliament. It's their work. But the regional constituency level is to inform the constituents about government actions, the plan and the policies, helping to settle conflicts, to resolve the grievances of constituents. And I have to emphasize here, Her Excellency Dr. Netumbo Nandi Ndaitwa spoke passionately about conflicts. Conflicts at home, recently, she spoke about these matters. Conflicts in the various societal groups, conflicts about in traditional authorities, conflicts in religious groups, conflicts. Okay? When are we going to end conflicts? Only if we have leaders. Only if we have leaders at a national level, at a constituency level, who can function to dispel, to put out conflict, and to dissolve grievances of the constituents. No person in a particular constituency, in a particular village, in a particular local authority must have an issue that is unresolved. It is the obligation of elected officials to make sure that the grievances of people have been attended to. Okay? So, resource allocation locally, mobilizing efforts for the development of their constituency, providing leadership locally. Okay. And when it comes now to personal level and function, this includes now, as a leader, you are free to do self-advertising. There are some people, you want to be elected. Yes. Leaders must be elected. They must tell us. They must do self-advertising. They must also claim credit. Where they have done so, they are free to say, I have done so. Position taking, they must take the positions if they are. Okay? Since this personal level function are rarely discussed in literature, I think it is necessary to touch just a bit on some of these things. Self-advertising has been defined as an effort to disseminate one's name among constituency in such a fashion as to create favorable image, but in a message having a little or no issue content. Experience, however, also indicates that self-advertising may include focus on the real issues of the constituents and development. Getting oneself known in the constituency and nationally requires self-advertising using methods such as frequent visits to the constituency in case one resides outside it, speeches to home audiences, attending constituents' function ceremonies such as weddings and burials, sending condolences and congratulatory messages to constituents, writing newspaper columns, and participating in public debates, and being calculating the vocal selected issues of local importance. If you really want to participate, make yourself known to people. Don't think people are just going to say, oh, we are going to vote for him because his name was mentioned. Make yourself known. Yeah. Go to where the people are. When I say go to where the people are, don't just go to where there is a gathering of hundreds. Go to 1 person, to 2 person, to 3 persons. Wherever they are, just go there. It is your work. The regional councils. This is aimed at you. You can see that these discussions that I'm, this monologue, if you like, is very hybrid. We are talking of many things, and each one of you can pick one thing or two that you think is very helpful. So, you have counselors who are not frequently visiting the people. You have counselors who cannot speak, who are not eloquent, who are not vocal. Do you have counselors who are not attending events? Attend weddings, attend burials, attend events, go to churches, go to sports, go to business expos, go to cultural events, be there. Send condolences and congratulatory message to constituencies. It's a counselor in your local authority or in your constituency. Be there when one person graduates with a PhD, send them a graduation congratulation. Someone graduate with a nursing, someone graduate with a diploma in what, someone has been promoted to become this. Congratulate people, reach out to people, know what's happening in your community. Then also send condolences, messages when there is a death and you are unable to attend. Then participate in public debates, speak, use the media, be in the seminars. When there is these seminars of empowerment, they might be for marriages, for young people, for what have you, be there. And being calculating the vocal in selected issues of importance, for local importance, be calculatingly vocal because you want to be elected. Because you want to be elected. So also claim the credit, because credit must be given where it is due. Credit must be given where it is due. Credit claiming has been defined as acting so as to generate a belief in relevant political actors that one is personally responsible for causing government, some unit thereof, to do something that the actors consider desirable. The emphasis here is on individual accomplishment rather than say part of government accomplishment on the congressman as a doer. Please just say, I have done 1, 2, 3, 4. So it's necessary sometimes to claim credit when you have initiated something, when you have created the ideology that was turned into a policy and implementable in the practical terms. Claim credit because that's you. Yeah. But there are some people who have no credit yet. You have no credit yet. They are in leadership, but they have no credit. So position taking is defined, therefore. I mean, the credit taking is therefore going to help you take the position. Okay? You take the position when you are elected. You take the position. Or you are a candidate, you take that position. Okay. Then, that being said, all those things considered, we are talking about political what? Pluralism, we mentioned a great deal, democratic participation, and the representation. We just ended with what an ordinary person can do. And then we are just saying elections now. Elections now. These are the few things I would like to mention before the end of the program. And then I will just come to, I will just come to independent candidates that Electoral Commission has just been saying. So elections now, we have mentioned all these things in the context of elections, but now we are going to talk about elections directly. Since in a democracy, the ideal is seeking the consent and the mandate of citizens for any leader to be accepted as legitimate. Citizens' participation in the choice of their leaders is very significant, very important, very consequential. Elections is the means of filling public offices may be competitive. Struggle for the people's vote has become synonymous with democracy as it empowers common citizens with the right to choose their leaders. And as a result, elections have become one of the key yardsticks for measuring how democracy is functional in a particular country or how democratic is that country. And as such, participation in the decision-making process and the conduct of free and fair elections are some of the major principles of democracy, to the extent that one of the political responsibilities of every citizen is to vote for responsible leadership in their community, in their constituency, in their locality, in their country. So elections, we cannot overemphasize the need for elections. The need for elections. We cannot overemphasize that. The need for elections. But elections must be conducted in a way that they will reflect the will of the people. Number one, elections must be competitive. Elections must be periodical. Elections must be inclusive. Elections must be definitive. Four key areas for the elections to be regarded as a free, fair, credible, genuine. One, they must be competitive. Opposition parties and candidates must enjoy the freedom of speech. Assembly and the movement necessary to voice their criticism and their incumbent government openly and to bring alternative policies and candidates to the voters. There are some countries in which opposition is not celebrated. Unlike Namibia, where opposition has been part and parcel of the governance system, especially representation in parliament. At some point, there was a lower opposition representation, but at some times, there is a higher representation. Like in this case now, in which we are, opposition almost closer to half. So there must be a competition. Competition everywhere. Elections must be periodical. Democracies do not elect dictators or presidents for life. Elected officials are accountable to citizens, and they must return to the voters at the prescribed intervals to seek their mandate to continue in office or face the risk of being voted out. So periodically, you must come to people and say, this is what we have done. This is what must be happening. We would like to seek you either to change or to give us the mandate again. Okay? Election must be periodical. Election must be inclusive. People must not just be elected forever and ever. Election must be inclusive. Who is entitled to vote? How widely is the franchise drawn? The definition of citizens and the voter must be large enough to include the adult population, which in the Namibian case is someone who is 18 years and above. You can vote. Anyone 18 years and above and is registered will vote. If you turn 18 when the registration is closed, you will register to vote in the next election. If you are 21 and above, you can be elected. You can be appointed. You can deputize. A government chosen by a small exclusive group is not democracy, no matter how democratic its internal working may appear. So democracy is when all people give mandate through popular consent via elections. And the election must be definitive as they define who the public office bearers will be for the specific period of time. Nobody must come in line if this person was never given a go-ahead by the people. So democracies thrive on openness and accountability, with one very important exception: act of voting itself. To minimize the opportunity for intimidation, voters in democracy must be permitted to cast their ballots in secret. At the same time, the protection of ballot box and the tallying of the votes must be conducted as openly as possible, so that the citizens are confident that the results are accurate and that the government does indeed rest upon their consent. One of the difficult concepts, obviously, for some to accept, especially in countries like Namibia, where transition of power historically has been taken place peacefully because of only one party that has been changing leaders, but the people have not changed the party. It may become difficult for the day when this party lose for a new party to come on. That is why, for some people, for fear of losing, they will use the freedom of speech to attack others, to discourage them from becoming leaders. Yeah. No Namibia should be excluded. Yeah. No Namibia should be, Namibian should be excluded or be attacked so that they cannot win the elections. Yeah. We need, to accept the outcome of democracy, because this is what democracy mean? Okay. After the election, the losers must accept the judgment of voters. Because please take note. In democracy, all sides share a common commitment to basic values of democracy. Competitors do not necessarily have to like one another, but they must tolerate one another and acknowledge that each has a legitimate and important role to play. And the ground rules of the society must encourage tolerance and civility in public debate. And losers must accept the judgment of the voters. If the incumbent party loses, it must turn over power peacefully. No matter who wins, both sides must agree to cooperate in solving the common problems of the society. There are indeed different forms of electoral systems. The way the elections of public officials are conducted are different from country to country. In the Namibian context, National Assembly, presidential elections. Presidents are nominated by the parties or nominated by the people through independent candidates. And they are voted for as individuals, no matter they are sponsored by the party, individuals. And then members of National Assembly, it is the parties that are elected. In the local authorities, it is individuals who are elected, no matter sponsored by political parties or sponsored by independent candidacy. While local authority, these are parties or associations that are elected. Now, let us quickly look at Electoral Commission of Namibia to see what announcements they have when it comes to the upcoming elections, just as we are about to go. About to finish the programs. Yes, there is a statement on the 15th of September concerning the requirement of the nomination of the independent candidates for the 2025 regional councils and the local authorities elections. The Commission wishes to provide important information regarding the nomination process for all aspiring independent candidates who wants to contest in the upcoming regional council election scheduled for 26th of November. Elections in Namibia will take place on the 26th of November. Nomination timelines, as outlined in the electoral calendar of 2025, the nomination period is scheduled to commence on the 26th of September, 2025. All aspiring independent candidates can commence with submission of nomination on this day. The last day of the independent candidate nomination is the 14th of October. If you want to become a councillor independently, 26th September to 14 October, you have a period to submit. And submit for nomination, please. All nomination submission must be uploaded on the ECN political party and candidate management portal, which is called PPCM, on the website provided. The independent candidate must designate two persons from his list of supporters, as outlined in Section 79 of Electoral Act No. 5, 2014, to sign the nomination form 21 on his behalf. The independent candidate must register with ECN in order to be issued with access password to log into the system. The portal will only go live from 26th of September and close on 14th October. No submission can be made prior to the opening or after the closing. provide the necessary support, help desk will be established at ECN head office to assist independent candidates with technical challenges pertaining to submission of their nomination. The candidate nomination help desk contact details or it's a number there. Returning officer in all constituencies will further be of assistance to independent candidates and their nominating persons. All nominations must be submitted in accordance with the provisions outlined in Electoral Act regulations on nomination and three and these guidelines. Non-adherence to the legal framework may result in the non-acceptance or rejection of nomination and which could ultimately affect candidate eligibility to contest in the elections. The Commission's legal obligation to enforce these requirements fairly and uniformly. Candidates on regional council election must observe the following requirements. Okay? Number one, candidate must be a registered voter. Nominators of IC must first upload the list of registered voters, 150 voters who are supporting candidates. None of the supporters should have already signed the declaration support to any other candidate in respect of election consent, must complete a certain form, and all this information rather are there, and I think this information must be found in relevant offices in the regions. All I wanted to mention here is that the nomination period for the independent candidate for the regional council's elections, because only the regional council's elections, 26 September to 14 October. That's the period, that's the window period you can use to nominate, to file for your nomination as an independent candidate. Requirements are stipulated. You must be a voter, you must be that, you must have 150 people, they must not have supported another candidate and so forth and so on. So you must be able to follow all the instructions so that you may not be disappointed when it is that particular time. So, I hope this is very, very important as far as elections are concerned. Elections will be conducted on the 26th of November. But before that, there will be a nomination of candidates, whether by the political party or by the independent candidates. Independent candidates are given already instruction to go by 26th of September 2025, and concluding the final date will be the 14th of October 2025. And there are ways how to do that. So at least all the independent candidates or people who are aspiring to become independent candidates in the regional elections are preparing themselves. By this time, you have already gathered a number of people, about 150 of them, and they should not have supported any other candidate because the Electoral Commission is going to verify. If we find your name, you are supporting candidate A or candidate B and also candidate C, that you are going to create problems. You support only one candidate, period. And that's how we do the independent candidate. Aspiring candidates for independent candidates, there is information on the website of the Electoral Commission of Namibia, and I think it is necessary to do just that. And there was another announcement that on the 15th of September concerning the registration of organizations. The Commission, in accordance with Section 148 Electoral Act Number 5, has amended hereby announced the registration of following organizations. There is Association for Localized Interest in SWACOP, Walvis Bay Community Association, Oucho Residents Association, and Grootfontein Rate and Taxpayers Association. So in line with the provision of the Electoral Act, any registered organization, association, any other person may lodge an objection for the registration of these organizations, and the objection period runs between 11th September to 11th October. The registration is published in the Government Gazette number 8735. All objections must be submitted to the office of the Chief Electoral and Referendum Officer within the prescribed period. So those are the announcements we got from the electoral commissions after having done a lot of monologue and monologue talk about the hybrid talk about elections and preparedness and why we must be involved and how we must be involved and what it means and so forth and so on. It is now up to you to assimilate this information, make use of it. It will be of great value if you do so. The program has come to the end, and I am Lucas Kalwapa Katenda. My voter is my choice. Thanks to Conrad Adenauer Foundation and Eagle FM. Until next week, it's a goodbye.